The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks. I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Record Valgo Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Burger King, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. Today, if you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So let me tell you what's going to happen today. I have a very special guest with me on the in the first hour of the show, and then in the second hour we can talk about a couple of things that I think you know are useful to talk about. In addition to this useful talk, I want to have with a gentleman who he's going to learn one or two things. Maybe I think today that he didn't know before now about himself. So. I have with me today Mr. Andy Ingram, who is the founding CEO of NABHUD. He's going to explain to you what NABHUD is, but you all will recall that I was in Miami last week attending a NABHUD conference, and he and I were supposed to connect, but I understand why we didn't. Listen to me, I have never seen a conference so weightily filled with meaningful dialogue as I had seen at that conference. Let me tell you something about Andy Ingram. Y'all recall that Hurricane Dorian took place in the Bahamas and devastated Abaco. And I don't even know how I got to hook up on that occasion with Andy about what he was doing. But let's listen to me. When we connected, this man had literally assembled a command center to provide relief to the Bahamas under those circumstances. And I watched him mobilize, network, materialize all manner of effort to bring relief to the Bahamas, along with people who were working with him. I mean, it was doing so without the normal, usual stress and complaining and nagging and gratifying and kind of things. He was just so unassuming, matter of fact, doing what he was doing. And all he would say to me is, you know, I'm trying to get this done, but we're having difficulty with this. And so I said, let me work on that for you. And that's how we got the worker to do that. And he kept the effort up, kept it up quietly. And most of you hear him pumping up himself, he's been in the newspaper trying to get this person to look at him, et cetera. Just doing the work. Now, let me tell you what he's going to learn about himself. He recently got a Caribbean Marketplace Excellence Award for the work he did at that hurricane. And he does not know, I don't believe, that I nominated him for that award.
I did not know that. Thank you very much. I didn't know that.
They called me and asked me about some persons they thought I thought could be so forth and so forth. And I said, Andy Ingram fits that bill.
Thank you, Shabago. I did not know that. I wondered how it happened, but you know, I just show up.
You and I are somewhat the same way. You know, you don't need to know, and I didn't need to know. We just knew it was the right thing to do. That's what I did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your continuing efforts. Because you're not just now responding to hurricanes. You've now they're trying, they're getting Bahamian students off to either university or some training opportunity, et cetera. You're mobilizing and investors here and there to look at the Bahamas, et cetera. Man, you're just working. So I have a question for you, Andy, before we get into the details of NABUD, man. Like, where does that mindset and attitude come from for you?
You know,
just go get it. You just get it done.
Listen, as you know, I'm from Tarpon Bay, Luther. I grew up in Nassau in Jamaica. My grandparents, Ralph Spence and Mabel Spence in West Street, taught me how it is so easy to be helpful. Today, I used to wonder how my grandfather, who had a, as we call him, a small petty shop next to Papa Hyla's shop in West Street, people would come in and they would take credit. And my grandfather just, hey, write that on this piece of pad, write that on this book. And so then my father and my mother had this spirit that in my father's case, people, I was always known as Link's boy. My father was Ellington Ingram. My name is Andrew Ellington Ingram, and I was always known as Link's boy. And wherever I went in Nassau, the Family Islands, and then eventually in the U.S., it was that spirit that they said that he had of giving. And so first and foremost, Vincent van der Poel always reminds me that I'm a Bahamian, and no matter what happened, I have an obligation to help. But however, I've been very fortunate, and I owe a debt of gratitude to the spirit of our independence from 1973. And so having an opportunity to do what I do, and you're right, I was sitting in my living room watching the hurricane. Well, let me go back a step further, because there's a gentleman named Rob who runs Tropic Ocean. Before Hurricane Dorian, I was sitting in my living room and I saw the news. And here was this young man who said, I wanted to help. And I called the radio station or the TV station. I said, give them my number. And he eventually called me. And I said, what is the issue? He said, well, I want to take some supplies to West End, but I can't seem to get permission. So I said, let me take care of that. And I called a very good and dear friend of mine, Prime Minister Perry Christie, advised him of the issue. And he said he would take care of it. And the next morning at 7:30, we landed a seaplane on the runway in West End. It was met by a contingent of people where we downloaded supplies and kept that running. Hurricane Dorian was the same issue. Sitting there, I realized how helpless I was, but I knew I could do something. And so the minute Dorian hit, we started assembling, making phone calls, and you came to our command center. But the beauty is that I'm blessed with a number of great friends and great colleagues and business partners. And as you know, we've started pre-clearance as a result of that. It's not up and operating, but we were able to airlift thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds to Abaco directly. And I should thank the comptroller, the prime minister, the governor, all when we couldn't get supplies into Abaco, I said to the comptroller, why don't you send us to Fort Lauderdale, we would accommodate them, we'd put them up, it wouldn't cost the governor a dime. And unknown to me, I had Sheldon Simonet, and Audrey, who has now been promoted to assistant deputy controllers, two senior officials who helped us greatly to move supplies, whether we were loading tankers or flying supplies in or flying relief. I was honored to be able to be helpful. And so I just talked to my office. We're sending 9 40-foot containers full of medical supplies that will start heading into the Bahamas. I'm told by my office this week, where whatever we can do, we are going to continue to do. That's my penance for being a Bahamian and my obligation.
tell me a little bit about your story prior to NABBA, like how you because you're very well known in and know very well the hotel industry. Tell us about your journey there.
Sure. I spent a lot of time working in the tourism industry, unfortunately not in the Bahamas, but in places like St. Martin, Anguilla, Martinique, and Guadeloupe, where, and of course here in the U.S., where I spent a lot of time understanding the dynamics of the growth of the multicultural markets, primarily the African-American market. I realized many years ago when I that back in the early 80s and 90s, African-Americans were spending a substantial amount of money. And I was always curious why none of the Caribbean destinations had a real effort to go after it. And then, of course, I was able to convince Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Philadelphia, and a lot of destinations I worked with, Atlanta, that it made good sense. And so, you know, one of the big events, and I was just talking about this at our summit that we did, I flew to Acapulco at the behest of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau and convinced the Acapulco Festival to move from Acapulco and become the American Black Film, which has been there close to 20 years. But my journey is looking at the economic conditions when I left corporate America, having worked for AT&T, to look at the tourism puzzle and to look at destinations to see what is it that they can do differently. And in the case of St. Martin, I was hired by then a young commissioner, young minister of tourism, Julian Rolox, and became the advisor for many years in St. Martin. And then, of course, that allowed me to discover Anguilla, which I consider almost close to the Bahamas. And so in many cases, rather than coming back to Florida, coming home, I spent a lot of time in Anguilla, eventually doing some work down there to help them develop their tourism strategy and markets. And of course, once I understood spending, I looked around and I said, how come we don't own any assets? And so back in 1999, I had the pleasure of being introduced to Damon John. Actually, in 1998, I had the pleasure of being introduced to Damon John by a good friend of mine, Keith Klingscale, at that time the president of Vibe magazine. And Keith said to me, would I consider developing a conference? Because people thought in 2000, the world would collapse. So I believe he gave me close to $1 million, and I developed FUBA Y2G in St. Martin. And what we did is I ensured that monies were not only spent in the hotel industry, but we hired makeup artists, we brought in celebrities. BET did a couple of shoots from Broad Anguilla, St. Martin, and St. Kitts. And we developed a number of radio shows because we had so many celebrities, Mary J. Blige, Puffy Combs, people I didn't even know. As a matter of fact, when I told my son I was doing something for FUBA Y2G, I had no idea what it is. But when you go back, I've worked on everything from the Bayou Classic for Southern University to the Orange Blossom Classic. So I've spent pretty much my whole career in understanding African-American multicultural tourism market as a viable entity. So for me, looking at hotel ownership was a natural outgrowth, because I used to tell people the only thing you have at the end of the day is a job that you can pass on, an experience that you may or may not like, but all of your source of funding, you were never a player, you were just a consumer. And so back in 1999, back in 2001, I pulled a couple of friends together and I said, let's buy a hotel. And everybody said to me that Black people don't own hotels, which I found hilarious. But most of my colleagues in the U.S. said, oh, you're a foreigner, you don't understand the United States. And I said, well, great. Fast forward today, I was going to save this for you because I thought you were still here. That Donald Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. may be bought by one of my members, a Black group. And I'm not speaking out of school because we knew it when he couldn't attend an award show we had on Thursday at the summit, but it was published last night that it may be the case. And one of the largest mergers just happened with Pyramid Hotel Group, a gentleman that's been trying to look at opportunities in the Bahamas. Pyramid Advisors Warren Fields just merged with another huge company.
But notwithstanding how offensive it may have sounded that Black people don't own hotels, that was in fact historically true.
It was, but you know, I think our limitations are stopped by our ability to think. I had the pleasure of attending boarding school in Jamaica, and I, as you know, you met Washington Missick. Both him and I were in boarding school together. But I come from a proud people called Bahamians, where there is no such thing as a limitations.
Because when you'd say Black people can't do, like Bahamians think like, okay, that's what y'all mean, but them people, you don't mean me.
Doesn't apply to me. And I was talking with a good friend last night, and you know, one of the discouraging things, I don't get to do a lot of work at home, but that does some helping. You mentioned our student program. You know, I had the pleasure of walking through a high school, Bethel, I think it is, and I met a 16-year-old head boy.
You mean C.V. Bethel,
Bob? C.V. Bethel. And I was there to look at the agricultural program because, as you know, we had brought in a number of consul generals that have wherewithal, honorary consul generals. And one of the consul generals decided to put a $2 million fund together to help educate Bahamians. And during the hurricane, we saw the acute issue of food. So we decided to establish an agricultural program at Florida A&M University, where the governor general will be heading at the end of this month to accept an award and to put the first $500,000 to educate students. But I was, as I was walking from the front of the school, because the driver, instead of going to the back of the school, stopped in the front. And the principal introduced me to a young 16-year-old and said he was the head boy. It had good grades, which I didn't have really good grades in high school. But he came to school when he wasn't supposed to be there. Well, if it wasn't for my mom, I probably would have spent more time out of school. And I spent about 5 minutes with him, and I asked him, what do you want to do when you get out of school? And he said, I wanted to get into aviation, but I was not sure how that would happen. And so I said to my assistant then, we need to ensure that this young man go to an appropriate school. Well, 3 weeks later, with the president of Florida Memorial College and a number of other individuals, and I'm happy to report today, we have about 8 students on scholarship programs at Florida Memorial College studying aviation. We started an aviation program. Akil Rose is that young man's name. Had a chance to talk with his mom. But I think for us is much is given, and therefore we have much to give.
Like I told people, like that, that's what you do. You get it done, right? So
I learned that from you, Shibago.
No. You were doing stuff long before I got my fact. I'm still trying to figure out how I got roped into your exercise of trying to get stuff to the Bahamas during Dorian, right?
We were having all kinds of issues. And I think what I find interesting, there's so many people that want to help. My son called me today and said, you know, Dad, you said you had 9 containers going to the Bahamas. I only have 8 on my schedule. What are we going to do with the 9 container? I said, don't worry about it. Set it up for delivery. We'll figure out who gets it. Mm-hmm. So now I learned that from you, because one of the issues we had in Freeport, when I said I had some stuff and you said I'll take care of it. And so having a network of friends, and I don't know whether you remember this, I met you many years ago when I went to visit
Yeah, Sapodilla under construction.
Sapodilla, absolutely. And I had read about you, and I said, wow, I get to meet the great Shivago Lang. And I always remember that.
I remember that discussion outside. Yes. but last week I went to the conference, NABHERD. I mean, really solidly attended. Your guest speakers were people of tremendous weight, heading huge groups of hotels, some of whom have branches in the Bahamas.
President of Hyatt Hotels.
Yeah, I mean, very busy people. So it was substantive, you know, the presentation by, I think it was FAMU, had a representative there who made a presentation. And these CEOs that talked about the industry and the sector. And what I was surprised about was most of the CEOs were saying their belief that the market had dried up, that they were actually seeing significant activity in their markets. And while those were the lower and medium scale markets, even the luxury market wasn't far behind its past performance.
Well, Shivago, I mean, the misconception is that tourism is dead. It's not. It's coming back with what I think a pent-up demand that's unheard of, which you saw at our summit. And I'm heading to New York next month to speak at the NYU Investment Conference. But what you see that's happening is even during the number one market was private aviation, luxury travel, have all started to go in directions that we've never seen in the entire time that I've been in the business. I mean, think about it. Jeff Bilotti, the president of Wyndham, at our conference announced at the closing bell on CNBC, I looked at it again last night, 3.2 minutes of our logo in the background and saying that he was coming from the National Association of Black Hotel Owners Conference. But they announced a new brand, a luxury inclusive brand. Hilton, Marriott, Accor, the CEO, Heather McCrory, flew in for our conference. It was a speaker on SLS in Nassau. Mark Halapazazian owns the Hyatt. Well, they're the franchisors of the Hyatt at Bahamar. And we had five brand presidents, the president of choice, Accor, Hyatt, G6, and Wyndham. We enjoy a tremendous relationship with these CEOs, but more importantly, we enjoy a tremendous business opportunities. When you look at the luxury market, places like the Turks and Caicos, where we had Minister Josephine Connolly, and of course, my good friend, the Premier of Turks and Caicos, Mr. Misik, you're seeing that a lot of interest on markets that are ready to go to the next level in the Bahamas opportunity, and that is family islands.
I want to talk to you about the Bahamas when we come back from this break, so make sure you stay right there parked. Don't leave, but we'll talk when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, and I'm here with Andy Ingram. We are talking about that fantastic NABHERD conference, and we can talk about some of his thoughts about tourism in our country as well. So we'll be back right after this break. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Life is always better with a little extra cash. At Solomon's, we know that every penny saved is a penny toward more happy times with those you love. With super savings in every aisle and budget-pleasing buys every time you shop, you can get closer to that family vacation you've been dreaming about. Go on, earn that new air fryer in produce. Snag that Exuma getaway with your cereal. Rawson Square Junkanoo tickets, aisle 7 just restocked. Bring it all together at Solomon's, where you can save more and live better.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. And that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I ain't Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where I'm speaking with the great Andy Ingram. Andy's so great. Somebody says Andy Ingram is a great man. I appreciate this time influence on his time influence on my life during my college years at Florida Memorial University, Clement Penn Jr.
Wow. Yes, we have a lot of students. I should thank him when I see him again.
Yes, indeed. So let's just talk about NABBOD for a minute. NABBOD is what?
NABBOD is the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers. And I got the concept coming from the Bahamas. Obviously, I saw all the great things about the Bahamas, but I saw little of ownership. And I remember being invited while I was in New York to speak to a group of visiting Bahamians by the folks in Atlantis. And I asked the question among a number of Bahamian executives, why aren't you guys interested in ownership? And I was shockingly surprised that nobody had an interest in owning a hotel. They gave a litany of problems and issues, but obviously they were all employed by a great organization. And so back in 2001,
we did have at least one or two pioneers, right?
One of the greatest pioneers is Nettie Simonetti.
Yes, exactly.
And I owe her a debt of gratitude to my career, because hiring a Black woman with a brand that I told Vincent van der Poel Wallace and I talked about this very often, you know, Nettie really laid the groundwork. First Black woman to become a general manager. It is all about opportunities. And for us, when we started NABBOD, when I went to Marriott headquarters to pitch the item onto Hilton, there was a gentleman there by the name of Steve Joyce, who at that time ran the development team, who eventually became the president of Choice and the president of IHOP. And there was another young man there who ran the development shop at Marriott by the name of Norm Jenkins, who's married to a young Bahamian girl, woman, I should say. And Norm today owns a lodge in Washington, D.C., which is the Marriott Marquis, 1,175 rooms built at a cost of $545 million. So when we created NABBOD at that time, there was one branded hotel, a Best Western in Memphis, Tennessee, owned by a good friend of mine, Mabel Holyfield. And as I ran around the country, I figured out that if I got three or four friends together, we can pool our resources and, you know, get into the game. It's not very difficult. And so we created this organization, and little by little it caught on. Today, As you know, you met a number of my Indian colleagues who own about 62% of all the hotels in the U.S. And by the way, there's only about 58, 59,000 hotels in the United States. But let me give you the good news. In those short years of since we've created, and I've been extraordinarily blessed with a number of great friends and great colleagues and great investors. We own just over 1,200 hotels around the U.S., but the second and third largest hotel in America are owned by two of our members, Park Hotels, which is owned by obviously a REIT, but Ran and the chairman is Tom Baltimore. They own some iconic hotels around the world, in Hawaii, in New York City, as well as RLJ, which was started by Bob Johnson, Tom Baltimore, and Sheila Johnson, who, as you may know, daughter got married in the Bahamas, and she had an interest in acquiring the hotel in West End, a project that I worked on that never came to fruition. But we saw the real value of building what we call generational wealth. You know, my grandfather started with a petty shop in West Street, and today, both my grandfather and my father, and those that went beyond me, I hope they would be proud of what we're doing today, even though we're not at home, but we're still making an impact in the lives of many Bahamians and the growth and the development of the Bahamas.
Andy, let me ask you something. You are very intimately involved with the hotel industry, the tourism sector. There are many Bahamians. I came on that sector who basically believe we need to get away from tourism because, you know, it makes us too vulnerable, et cetera, et cetera. Respond to that for me, please.
Sure. You know, listen, tourism is the number one industry in the world, second only to healthcare in the United States. I think we need to what I consider rework and re-image tourism. I think we've got to own some of the products. We have to have a different mindset. We cannot continue to give away some of our best assets rather than creating joint venture opportunities. We cannot begin to take a sideline. I always tell people the joke when I look at negotiations in the Caribbean and particularly the Bahamas and some of my other Caribbean countries. You know, if a cruise line or anybody shows up with 20 attorneys and be outgunned, you know. Vincent Vanderpool Wallace always says, you must go to war with the army that you have. But listen, it's okay to staff the army or create allies. But let's face it, you know, every day I'm told that the Prime Minister of St. Lucia would go to sleep and would ask God for one thing, and that is to move St. Lucia where the Bahamas is and move the Bahamas where St. Lucia is because we don't know the geographical location we have. We're now 20 minutes off the greatest market in the world. And so for us, I think we just need to understand our value. I think when people don't understand their value, then they tend to give it away. There's simply no reason why we should take the best and give it away when we have the ability to involve in the growth. And if we do that, tourism can still be the economic engine that it was designed to be. But yes, that's why we created an agricultural program. Let us begin to understand how to bring food from farm to table. Let's consider the aviation program. You know, the only way to get around the Bahamas is by boat or by airplane. Why aren't more Bahamians, not just flying people, but building aviation companies that can expand beyond the Bahamas.
So you are saying rather than be down on tourism, you're saying to Bahamians, you need to invest in tourism and become owners in tourism because from your point of view, the market ain't going nowhere.
The market is not going anywhere. People are going to travel. Listen, Brand USA is the Ministry of Tourism for the United States, funded by non-PAC taxpayers' dollars. But it's also partly funded through joint ventures. And if America, the greatest country in the world, can be so up on tourism, imagine what we're doing in the Caribbean. I think we need to find skilled people. We need to create a planning program. We need to ensure that Bahamians understand the value of what they're doing and give them a sense of pride. When somebody called me this morning, about a job opening for to be a hotel manager in the Four Seasons. There's simply no reason why, with the talent that we have in the Bahamas, they cannot find another Bahamian to replace the Bahamian that is leaving, unfortunately, because he wants to explore more opportunities, and there's simply not enough for all of us time.
Disabuse me of this thought, Banandi. Ownership is one thing. Like, you know, you can put your money in the ownership of something, but operating something profitably really requires a very a solid knowledge of the industry. Even if you don't have it yourself, you need to have people who have that knowledge of the industry. Do you think that that's a part of the impediment as to why some of the people who even have money in the Bahamas don't invest in tourism? Is that they don't know the market well enough, or don't know, have access to the people who know the market well enough?
I think it's a combination of all of the above. But for us in the business, African Americans are pretty much in our group are investors. We bring in experts, i.e. the brands, i.e. third-party management, to give us the expertise to make sure that that we can get a return on our investment. You know, I think part of our issue in most Caribbean countries, and particularly the Bahamas, is awareness. Our goal is to create a number of workshops and webinars where people can become aware that as an investor, the segment, I mean, think about the port. You know, a minister once told me a couple of weeks ago, one of the best run ports is the one in the Bahamas. Well, who cares if Bahamians don't have a huge stake? And so if we wanted to, let's take the hotel in Freeport. I mean, it's owned by the government. A Bahamian group that had the wherewithal, and we do have those, can take that hotel overnight, put a major brand on it, bring a well-heeled management company, and rather than have it become a drain, impact Bahamians, empower Bahamians. And that's what we think about here at NABHUD. One of the things I'm really forceful about, if I, as an owner, I no longer have to beg you for something, I can now demand. If the people that work for us aren't doing what they should do, then I'm going to take my money and spend it with people that seem to favor us and want to do business with us. We only have three pillars at now, but ownership, executive level employment, and supplier diversity. What is a look around a hotel room? And you saw a lady with Kerry Cookies at our summit, and it's amazing when she called me. Hotels have picked up a product. Hotels, companies like Marriott. And so as an owner, we can say, I want you to do business with XYZ. So for us in the Bahamas, people getting together, and our motto is real simple. No one of us can write a check for whatever it is a hotel would cost, but three, four of us getting together, understanding what we want out of the deal, and knowing quite well that the 7.2, I think, visitors that come to the Bahamas, we must become equitable players in the folks that come and spend time with us in the Bahamas. We have a group, I believe, going there this month. I mean, 900 people of color on the islands. I mean, think about the business we can create as a result of that. So I'm up on tourism. I'm up on hotel ownership. I'm up on product development. Florida, Philadelphia, every major state in the United States and countries outside of the Bahamas are really focused on re-energizing and getting the business back and going back to what we call 2019 when the market was good and doing business. I think the Bahamas will do itself a whole lot of good. And under your new leadership, you have a great dynamic minister I've known for many years. And this gentleman has a vision. He's from one of the family islands, which is Exuma, which I think is a gem.
And he was at the conference.
Listen, we typically don't get a lot of support from the Bahamas Ministry. I can tell you that having the chance to sit down with him, his permanent secretary, his parliamentary secretary, John Pinder, and listen to his vision, you know, I'm sold, and I hope that our experience with him will be much different than previous experience that we've had with the organization.
We're going to take a break, but Andy, when we come back, when we do come back, I want you to speak to this Family Island zeal that you have. We'll be back after this break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be right back.
Life is always better with a little cash. At Solomon's, we know that every penny saved is a penny toward more happy times with those you love. With super savings in every aisle and budget-pleasing buys every time you shop, you can get closer to that family vacation you've been dreaming about. Go on, earn that new air fryer in produce. Snag that Exuma getaway with your cereal. Rawson Square Junkanoo tickets, aisle 7 just restocked. Bring it all together at Solomon's, where you can save more and live better.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. Walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this Thursday afternoon, where I'm speaking with the founding CEO of NavHood, the great Andy Ingram. And but Ingram, let me read another text here. Say, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. See, sometimes you say things and people don't always believe what you're saying. One of the students at Florida Memorial University was taking up aviation. I am a single mom. I have a small job at University of Bahamas, but is unable to finance the flight part of the aviation course. Can you please hook me up with the gentleman to see if he can help me in any way to acquire a scholarship for her, so that somebody can test the merit of your program.
Absolutely. Tell him to send us an email to sgleeman, G-L-E-M-A-N, at gate.net. sgleeman at gate.net. But in scholarship programs, about 5 years ago, we created the C.A. Smith International Scholarship Program. When I first came home from school, I had an opportunity to go to Freeport to try to work. Couldn't get anything done in Freeport. Cliff Hamilton was the GM at that time at Xanadu. And a young, energetic politician by the name of C.A. Smith became my mentor. God, had to be 30 years ago. So happened that his wife and my grandmother and my parents are both from Tarpon Bay. And so we had some commonality. And so one of the things that him as an educator, when he was Minister of Tourism, I was able to fund a lot of supplies into the Ministry of Tourism, I'm sorry, the Ministry of Education. When he was the Ministry of Education, we provided a lot of equipment to help him. And so we created this program because him being an educator, and then one of our consul generals, honorary consul, I keep saying consul general, honorary consul, Dr. Bill Picard, a billionaire philanthropist and owner of the MGM Grand Casino and Hotel in Detroit, as well as the owner of one of the largest logistics company in the country. I think it's the fifth largest company. We all talk about education. So that young lady is one of so many young people that all they need is an opportunity and a hand, and we can come back to what I call nation building. It is critical that we help to build the Bahamas because, you know, as a youngster, I thought having a good time was great and having kids. And now, as most people know, I have a 18-month-old grandson that I've been home for the last 18 months, have not been to the office, and I'm enjoying my time at home.
You're big on the Family Islands. You're huge on the potential of the Family Islands. Why is that?
You know, there is so much potential. When I talked about luxury travel and having been associated recently in the last 6-7 years with Tropic Ocean, we see the potential. And every time I go anywhere in the world, I have a pin on my lapel that is the flag of the Bahamas. My staff sometimes criticize me and said, I should have a Napud pen, but I'm first and foremost a Bahamian. And every time I mention or speak, the issue comes up with the Family Islands. And it dawned on me that we can create more programs with more potential that can impact more people and change the trajectory of what people do and stopping them from migrating to places like Nassau, which is becoming overcrowded, among other issues. My family and I were in Exum about 5-6 weeks ago and had a chance to do some stuff that I don't get to do very often, that is take a break. But I talked to a young man who we had chartered a boat to go out, and he said he wanted to go to Nassau because there was no opportunity to study air condition. And I said, well, tell me a little bit about your parents and what they do. His father had two boats. And immediately I said, boy, if I can convince his father to create a joint venture, instead of having two boats, have five, instead of only employing one boat captain, employ six. But when I talked to my colleagues like Rob at Tropic Ocean and other people, they see the value and where the market is going. Two things are happening. More disposable incomes, people buying islands. A colleague of mine this past year has sold three keys. Think about it. Three keys this year. Some people don't sell one in a lifetime. And we get calls all the time about what can we do to enhance? How do I get people there? And that's why we looked at what we call runways in the ocean. Imagine seaplanes landing in the ocean, joint venturing with somebody that owns a bonefish boat, that we can then take an individual who wants to spend a day in the Bahamas, they pay departure taxes, they go and fish for the day, being 20 minutes off the coast, you know. And when we worked on the SLS deal with Bahama, one of the things I said to the owners of SLS in Miami, if you put SLS in the Bahamas and brought that same energy, overnight we can get people streaming into the Bahamas. But the Family Islands has the best potential of growth.
Now, the only way me and you don't talk on the other side of the break is if you have to go, because I have some other things I really want to talk to you about. Can you stay after the break? Can you come back?
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Okay, great. Excellent. Because we're gonna go to a news break. And when we come back, we got to talk about this stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with the founding CEO and one of the founders of Napud. You know, and you said something about ownership and what we need to do about ownership. And a lot of people talk about it in the Bahamas in terms of the hotel sector, but that you're actually involved with ownership, not in the Bahamas, but otherwise. And so I want to come back to that when we come back from the break for sure.
Hopefully, right. Let me come to the Bahamas and own something.
Well, hey, let's talk.
Good deal.
We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news break. Starting
today, I'm breaking. For the COVID vaccine raffle, if you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.baxbahamas.com to register.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golan, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where I'm here speaking with the founder and CEO of Napud. That's just the Association of owners, black owners of hotels in the United States of America. And I met a couple of those Indian owners, as Andy mentioned earlier. And they are buzzing. They are, I mean, you can tell that they have energy toward what they're doing. I'm here with Mr. Andy Ingram. But Andy, let me read a couple of texts that relate to you. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show. Your guest, Mr. Ingram, is such an inspiration. As a hotelier and hospitality professional, I salute him and commend him for paying it forward. Please let him know I'm from and presently tuned in from Tappan Bay, Eleuthera.
Great to hear that.
Now, and I want to read this to you, and I want you to give a response to this. This says, Mr. Lang, I can remember having the pleasure or displeasure of sitting with some senior and prominent Bahamian managers in hotels and sitting with them, and they would always joke and say, black Bahamians can't have hotels in the Bahamas. Once they know you are the owner, they would never follow rules and they would take extra stuff home, laugh out loud. It wasn't fun to hear that sometimes, but it was the truth.
Completely untrue. Completely, listen.
You think if Bahamians owned these hotels that the staff would have the same level of, let's say, mindedness to comply with the wishes of owners?
You know, the beauty about ownership is that there's always a level in between, and we have what we call brands and third-party management that are tasked with operating hotels to make a profit.
Right. So it's not as if you're seeing Shivago Lang or Andy Ingram every single day because we're the owners of the hotel. You've got the hotel being operated, and then but you have it branded, and then you have an operator that it could be far removed from you. And so they couldn't care too less about how you well you know me or not. They got a job to do.
They've got a job to do. And if they don't do the job, they won't do it. They won't be doing it for long. But seriously, most owners never get a chance to go to their hotel in a week, a month, sometimes even years. And there's a reason for that, because a lot of us have so many other issues and items that we're dealing with. I just got a text from a university professor at UB, and she reminded me to talk about the work we do with HBCUs and even we do with the University of the Bahamas. All of our members are committed, and I specifically committed to help as many young Bahamians. And I read that note that somebody just sent you about literacy. There's so much other work to be done. So we get the best and brightest to manage our assets, and then we go and look for other opportunities that may be around. And so most times you have no idea who owns the Hilton down the street or the Marriott down the street. And we like branding hotels. I don't want any hotel to be named the Andy Ingram Hotel, because maybe my brother will show up and want a free room. Usually when I go across the bridge in Nassau, I tell people that Sidney Poitier is my cousin. Do I get free toll? And they always say, no, I have to pay. So it's the same issue with the hotel business. It is very lucrative. And I talked about the family islands. We're scheduled to be there again next month to look at a new hotel that's being considered, new opportunities. And when you look at growth and closeness to the market, amenities, safety, security, and beauty, in the Clarence program that we're working on, the previous minister, Minister D'Aigle, when we started this journey, we said to him, Minister, we're going to contribute $5 of each flight that comes into the Bahamas to go into a fund to keep the Bahamas as beautiful as it is, and the job that Eric Carey and his group does. So our goal not only stops at creating successful businesses, but the responsibility to help reach back and help the generation through education, through philanthropy, through encouragement, or whatever we can do to ensure that this next generation of Bahamians do well. The Bahamians in the diaspora, in Chicago, we've had some discussions with you. Next year, we're going to hold the first annual Bahamas Diaspora Summit. I've invited the new Minister of Tourism to tour the port of Port Everglades and the airport. At Port Everglades, the director of operation is a young Bahamian by the name of Ricardo Charlton.
Mm-hmm. Who Freeport child.
Exactly. And talking with the commissioner and the mayor of Broward County, they're only too happy to provide these sort of opportunities to visiting dignitaries. We're going to offer the same thing to the folks in Turks and Caicos. But I think for our standpoint, and as an owner, as an investor, as a business person, but more important, as a young Bahamian from Tarpon Bay, Eleuthera, our commitment is to ensure that there's not only one Andy Ingram, there are hundreds and thousands of Andy Ingrams that just need a break, and that's our goal.
Let me ask you a question, because you started talking about how the hotels are structured. You have the ownership, you have the brand, you have the operator. Are most hotels like corporation owned, big corporation owns, where they have a diverse group of shareholders, or are they like family owned operations or like small partnerships? What's the ownership mix?
You know,
also a lot, I didn't know this, but a lot of hotels have upscale, medium scale, and downscale brands. So you're going to hotels thinking they're not that hotel, but say, for instance, extended stay is also owned by the same owners of WoodSpring.
Well, the beauty of this business is that there's such a diverse supply of travelers. So Marriott has about 35 different brands. Mm. So whether you want to go to the Ritz-Carlton, upscale or the JW Marriott, or you want to go to the Town Place Suites, which is an extended stay product. So what hotel companies have become very adept at is identifying that traveler, meeting the needs of that traveler, which is why we partner with hotels, whether they're Hilton or Marriott or Wyndham. I mean, think about it. If you go to a Hyatt Zia, that's a luxury inclusive, like the ones they have in Jamaica, or a Hyatt that you have in the Bahamas, which is a what we call a group hotel. I believe they have 1,000, as much as 1,700 rooms in that development at Barmar, where they specialize in groups. Let me go back to what hotels and how they're structured. Hotels are really small businesses. During the pandemic, I spent a lot of time lobbying congressional members in Washington, D.C. I think I spent probably out of a day, probably 2 or 3 hours a day on the phone. Now, think about this. Prior to the pandemic, I spent about 1 million miles traveling a year. A lot of it meeting with investors, meeting with finance companies, meeting with developers, owners, and importantly, meeting with elected officials in Washington, D.C. and around the country. But we spent a lot of time educating elected officials that most hotel structures are owned by small companies, much like what you and I will form, partnerships where 3-4 of us get together and we may own 4 or 5 hotels. I talked about the Marriott Marquis in Washington, D.C. When you think about it, Norm Jenkins, who owns that company, they own about maybe 17 hotels comprised of investors, family and friends who put money in the deal to buy other hotels. Companies like Hilton and Marriott, they do not own any hotels. They are merely a brand. They're merely designed to brand, market, manage hotels. And the beauty about all these brands that are out there, whether they're Hilton, Marriott, Choice, Wyndham, they all have incentive programs to encourage diverse ownership. We've been privy to that. And whether you are a young man like Evans Charles, whose parents came to the United States from Haiti, who started off as a student at Temple University. Today he owns 11 hotels. But this young Haitian kid, first hotel when he came to our conference back in Atlanta, was a 62-room Holiday Inn Express. Was his first hotel with four individuals that he partnered with. His last deal in 2019 was a $47 million Westin that he bought at Baltimore Airport. So there are some large corporations that own hotels and insurance companies, but by and large, out of the 59,000 hotels in this country, they're really classified as small business, whether they're owned by Asian American Indians, Hispanics, or African American. So I think what people see is the brand. And they see the Hilton, the Marriott, the Choice. And by the way, one of the best performing hotels in the world is that Choice Comfort Inn product on Paradise Island. I had John Lancaster from Choice Hotels say hello to the Deputy Prime Minister, Chester Cooper. And I said, just tell our Deputy Prime Minister how well that hotel performed. Most people don't know that's only one of probably 12 brands that is owned by the parent company, Choice Hotels International.
I was there listening to him and as he talked about what all they managed. If a Bahamian, we have Bahamians in the hotel business, we know that is so today, right now, not if some in the family islands, not a lot, but there are some, because I know that the Ministry of Tourism's Family Island, I can't remember the exact title, but they have a particular promotion program that they try with these Bahamian-owned family island hotels. But they would fit a certain segment of the market, do you think, or are they diverse as far as you are aware?
Well, you say the current hotels in the family island?
Yeah, the ones that are owned by the ones that we know. I know there's some in Long Island and some of the other out. Yeah.
Absolutely. We call them soft brands. So hotel companies are becoming very smart and understanding the traveler. So what is the one? And I spoke to somebody this morning who was in Abaco and who's working on something in Crooked Island. And the beauty about a soft brand is that you bring all of the accoutrements of a reservation system, an inventory system, a purchasing system. If you can put all that together and partner that with a small hotel, what you've now done is given the ability of somebody in Crooked Island, Meguana, Georgetown, Exuma to reach the world. And therefore, people can come and say, I'm going to spend the next few weeks, months, or days in that location. Vanderpool and I have been working on this for quite some time, is how to convince Bahamians. I shouldn't say just Bahamians, because we looked at the whole Caribbean, since I spent a lot of time in the Eastern Caribbean working for various governments there. But we spend a lot of time and get asked this question all the time, will Choice, will Hilton, will Marriott? And the answer is yes. Some of these hotels will fit well in terms of position and some of the brands, particularly in the segment. You mentioned the various segments that they have, select service, extended stay, luxury, inclusive. So the answer is yes. And that's something that we're working on, because that brings a healthy partnership. It even may bring capital to the table or some form of investment. But what it does, more importantly, it brings the ability to be successful.
Because if you don't have a brand, I mean, like, you can create a brand. So I know that is true. But if you don't have a brand, you really you're relying on your own limited marketing effort, that of the Ministry of Tourism. The possibility that your island is so popular that maybe people start looking and then catch a hold of, well, I'm one of the hotels out there. You don't have that global, intense, consistent marketing energy behind getting folk from a pool of
global reach,
right?
Yeah, we don't have that global reach, and what disturbs me a lot of these destinations, the Bahamas notwithstanding, we wait for people to knock on our door. So people show up and we say, oh, let's take credit because John Smith decided that they were coming to the Bahamas. We've got to go out because of the competitive nature, which is why you need a brand, and go after that market. Let's think about it. Sun, sand, and beach, I can find it in most places. Service.
At least in our region and regions like ours where you have beachfronts and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And so I think whether we're looking at investment or tourism, we've got to get out of this notion to just wait until somebody knocks on our door. What I like about this new minister of tourism, he's in the business of running a business. He's not something that's going to go there and learn. So he understands what it's going to take to be successful. Our people should be out selling, finding investors. Our people should be there just about every avenue. I mean, somebody once told me that we had 7.2 visitors. And the cruise ships stopped coming, so the numbers went down. When the cruise ships come back in and more people travel, I'm sure somebody will say some genius decided that they can increase by 8 million by sitting in their office. But no, you're right. I think having a brand is important. The system has been proven and tested. The worldwide global reach of marketing, I happen to be a corporate guy. When I travel, I only stay at the Marriott, the Hilton's, the Hyatt's, because I know what to expect. I once flew to a meeting in Jamaica, and I thought I was being clever. I booked a hotel. I wanted to try something new. It was my worst mistake. I had not been to the property before. All of my colleagues stayed at a normal hotel we stayed at. And here I am, after working in meetings all day, I showed up at the hotel at midnight. No manager. The room was awful. The service was awful. And I virtually slept in the lobby because all the other rooms at surrounding hotels were sold. Had I gone to an established brand, I would know what to expect. When you checked into the Marriott the other day, you knew that you were going to get a good quality bed, safety. And so that's why brand is important. Back to your point in the family, Alan, and something we're going to work on with the Deputy Prime Minister. We're going to see how we can bring companies, investment, development, how we can bring brands to the table. So to help these small hotels in a collection of what we call either bed and breakfast, where individuals can grow and begin to build wealth at the same time, grow the economy from a tourism standpoint.
Well, there are some people who are interested who are in the hotel business and interested in connecting so that they can get the benefit of your guidance. So they're asking, is there an email address or can you be reached at or have an executive assistant that they can direct their attention to try to get to you?
Tell them to go to our website. I believe information to get to us is there. nabhood.com. If you go to our website, you get all the information you need. And Shivago, for this show, for next year, I'd love to give away 5 registrations or 6, whatever you deem appropriate. You can figure out what the response or how you give it away. But we'd love to give that. Every year I bring in 4 students from the Bahamas to attend our show. We cover their cost. They are 4 of students that come from every place I've worked. And I've worked in West Africa. I've worked in Timbuktu. I've worked in St. Martin. And we bring kids around from HBCU schools. And we bring them all together where they can see people that look like them. I learned something from my mother many years ago, why she never wanted me to work in the hotel industry. Growing up in the Bahamas, she didn't want me to work there because people that she knew were not in the executive positions, and there's nothing wrong with being a doorman or maid, but you want the ability to be promoted to the corporate suite, the executive suite, the general manager suite. And so in our group at NABHOOD, the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, we not only advocate for ownership, we also tell the people that we do business that their executive team should look like me and many of my owners.
You know what I was really quite impressed with. You had a session by, I think it was FAMU, as I indicated before, on diversity, like diversity in employment, HR diversity, and what they could do about that. And the room was packed. Ordinarily, when you go to conferences, like some sessions, you expect people to be outside really basically talking while those kind of sessions going on. The room was packed and no one left the entire session.
We spent a lot of time programming this conference, and you know, I honestly wish that I can sit here and say, if we in the Bahamas were really serious about working with each other, then we would get the support of having the Ministry of Tourism send folks or support us. You know what pulling teeth is?
Yeah, I know that, buddy. I know that. So we can get 5 or 6 registrations for people to NABHOOD's conference next year. Folk, I would recommend it. I don't know where it's going to be next year.
It's going to be in Miami. We'll be in Miami.
Miami's great.
We won't be at the same hotel. It's under construction, and we decide to make a move. Shivag, I also want to say this. You talk about sponsors. I'm going to commit Tropic Ocean, one of our partners, to become a regular sponsor of this show. We're also going to commit some sponsorship dollars, the young people that want to study agriculture. Next year, we're going to be looking for young people to go to FAMU to study agriculture. We're going to be looking for young people to go to FMU. So I want to personally thank you for the job you continue to do and see how we can help you. I'm going to have somebody from Tropic Ocean chat with you and to see how we can become a regular sponsor. And of course, we at NABHOOD would love to do the same thing. You do a wonderful job, and you have my support and my organizational support.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that quite much. So I have a text here says, Mr. Lang, tell your guests, when I was off to school, I was able to go to Atlanta Freaknik Black College Spring Break Daytona, Black Spring Break Cancun, Mexico, and the start of Black Memorial Day weekend on Miami Beach. I remember when the Palms Hotel on Miami Beach was bought by a black man from up under the Jews.
Well, it was built by Don Peoples, one of my board members and my former chairman. First black-owned hotel built in by an African-American on South Beach. But I'm happy to report I'm going to a grand opening today of CGI Merchant, a group of African-Americans and folks from the Caribbean that just raised $650 million, and they just bought a brand new hotel on South Beach. That's the same group that's looking to buy Trump's hotel in Washington, D.C. But let me thank him for coming to the Royal Palm. I should say that hotel was sold. It was just recently bought by Tom Baltimore, an African-American that is the chairman and CEO of Park Hotels. So our goal is really clear. In the next 10 years, we will probably be the largest owner of hotel rooms in the United States as a minority group. And it's something that we really focus on, working with our partners at the brand and working with investors and financial companies to make that happen. Why? The market is changing. The United States is becoming more brown. African-Americans spend $107.4 billion annually on travel. And we want to take advantage of that so that they can spend some money with our hotels and come in and work with partners that clearly understand how important diversity is.
One of your guest CEOs said, and I really want you to talk to this, and maybe some of the people who have some assets out there listening, said that hotels are not so much, hotel investors are not so much now building new hotels as refitting existing hotels.
That's exactly right. The cost of building a hotel is astronomical with labor, shortage of goods and suppliers. So what you find is acquisitions is top of our table. If we can find an existing hotel, I happen to like that hotel in Freeport, the Grand Lucayan,
right.
Who we made a run at some time ago.
We got a couple sitting around in Freeport. We got the Grand Lucayan, we got the Xanadu, we got the Princess Hotel. I know Princess ain't on the beach.
Princess is a bad district. Nobody's going to put a hotel in the middle of a city.
They might put an extended stay there, man. They might put a, you know.
actually, Shivago, Vincent Vanderpool and I, when I, we had a medical school that I sit on the board called Queen's University that we tried to put in Freeport. Today, we're now in Barbados. But we thought about developing an education medical complex with that old princess.
I heard that idea for sure. Yeah. And it may still be. It may still be one day. Who knows? We have a call on the line, Brother Ingram. We can take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Shivago. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. And yourself?
Right here. Nicodemus. You have an excellent topic. I just want to get in here. You talked about the persons in terms of promoting. I heard you went along the lines of advertising and promoting the hotel industry and coming right back to the Bahamas. But you know what? I was listening to your conversations all along, very good conversation. What I haven't heard you mention or indicate is one of the stakeholders in all of this is the union. And I'd like to make a comment, okay?
Mm.
I think that the union, as apart from always coming to the table to demand of the hotelier raises and benefits for the workers, I think they ought to be made to participate in the promotion of that property for which they are unionized and not just be extractors. Because I find that the unions are the heaviest hand when it comes down to demanding of the property of the hoteliers, their demand, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And I say, why don't they ever participate in the building up of this market?
That's an excellent raise.
Made as a part of the negotiation, the union negotiation.
Yeah.
That's
an excellent ask, and I'm glad you asked. I'm going to let Brother Ingram respond to it because I have a follow-up question to it. Go ahead, Brother Ingram.
I'll go even a step further. I think institutions like union should also become owners of the same asset. There's a sense of pride in ownership. And, I say to my son or my daughter all the time, is when you own something, you walk through the parking lot, you pick up the paper that's on the ground because you're so proud of that ownership. And I was asked by somebody called me this morning on a deal that we may be working on. And the question that was asked, do I think unions would be interested in becoming an equity holder? And I said, yes, we've had some deals where that has happened. Insurance companies, owners, and other equity players, cities. In the United States, at this conference, we had a number of cities pitching developing hotels in their city, because they either owned the plot of land, they understood the tax benefit, they understood the employment, and all of those public-private partnerships where we had a workshop on. And one of the gentlemen that was on the workshop happened to be a Bahamian and is responsible for the development of some of the abilities, some of the facilities in Overtown.
But are many or most of the hotels in your groupings unionized? Like they...
Depending on some cities have a right to work state, like Florida is a right to work state. So hotels don't have to be unionized, but we enjoy a good, healthy relationship with the unions.
Oh, okay. That was the question I wanted to ask you, is the extent of union. I don't know the industry, so you know it better than me. We have a unions factor and feature in hotel, the tourism sector operations in the country a lot. Maybe less so today than back in the day, say when Bodhi was head of the union. But I didn't gather that in the hotel sector in America. Maybe more in some of the other industries like the airline industry and what have you. But I didn't hear a lot of ruckus in the hotel sector having to do with unions in the U.S. I didn't hear.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, as an owner and as a guest, we want to treat people with decency, with fairness. One of the abilities for both the Asian American hotel owners and the National Association of Black Hotel Owners came about because we felt there was some unfairness, bias, discrimination, inability to participate, promote, get jobs. And so both of the organizations who were great partners, we decided that we would work together to destroy some of these issues that we're having. Today you're seeing more people of color on boards. And for unions, you know, having a fair and decent wage is important because at the end of the day, our business is about people. If our people are treated well, they're going to treat our guests well. If our people are trained well, they're going to make sure they serve our guests well. If our people know that they can be promoted, then obviously they're going to do a good job to get promoted. I've got a good friend who I don't talk to a whole lot, but Obi Ferguson, when he was in Miami, and I are good friends. And that's one of the questions I'm going to put to him and his union to see, why aren't you equitable players in some of the deals that may be on life support that could be brought back to life?
But let's be real, though. I mean, Brother Andy, Bahamians ain't putting no money in hotels. Like, we can build a mall, we can build a, all kind of other things we can do, but we ain't in no hotel, mind you. We'll run around and tell the people that the Bahamas has the single largest sector is the hotel sector, and all these foreigners owning it and taking the money out of the country, but we don't invest our money in tourism, at least not in the hotel sector.
Frankie Wilson.
And I want to ask you, we're not building hotels or even buying hotels in this place of late, not in the last 10, 15 years. Like, I mean, I know we got Bahama and what have you, but that's just one. What's going on?
Frankie Wilson is doing a good job.
That's right.
Yeah, and there are other small hoteliers in various family islands that are doing a great job with ownership. Mm-hmm. Listen, I've been looking at a piece of property in the Bahamas, in Nassau, for a couple of years that will be great for an extended stay or a select service. It happens to be a property that I think will do well. And I think we also need to lead by example. But Bahamians say
this place, we have this wonderful location, this fantastic location. Everybody won't be here. Everybody won't be with everybody.
So I have a group of Bahamians that are interested. So we would be happy to break the mold if we can get a little bit of help.
Well, I'm gonna look to you. We can see how that evolves. I'm gonna keep looking in your direction. Let me shift gear a little bit for you, because you know the issue, you know the topic, you've been involved. Do you think much progress was made and has been made in Abaco since Dorian?
Listen, Dorian is a tough nut to crack, and then you complicate that with COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at the work that we did, sometimes running 24 hours around the clock. I had a warehouse, 100,000 square foot, shipping goods. And remember, these are consumable goods that we were shipping, whether they were water or food, or whether they were building supplies. And there were so many people that came to the task. I can't say enough about some of the cruise lines, some of the shipping lines, some of the young people. We had a young man named Ahmad Williams from Freeport, Williamstown. And worked at tourism office, and every evening he would come over and spend time in the warehouse loading trailers. A lot have been done, but a lot more need to be done. I think efficiency is the key. One of the issues we discovered is if you have an efficient system, you'll get more done. And the reason why we brought Customs and Immigration to Florida to help expedite it is efficiency. So we need to figure out how to become more efficient if we're going to be successful. And I hope that, you know, people still want to give, but we get COVID, Dorian. And then the other issue we have, look at all the other issues that are facing New Orleans, the fires in in California. So Haiti, there's so much, the eruptions throughout the Caribbean. And so there's so much. The beauty though, Shivago, we've got a Bahamian diaspora, we've got friends, we all come to the aid of each other. And yes, a lot was done, a lot more could have been done better. I spend sleepless nights thinking of what else we can do, who else we can call. We don't have a U.S. ambassador. I cannot begin to tell you that how frustrating it is to me individually, not having somebody that understands our issue. But I think if you go back to the point, government has a responsibility. Government also have the ability to help enact change in direction. All just led to them. The private sector, individuals, I met myself and you and most of the callers on the line, also have a responsibility to provide as much help that we can. I can tell you sometimes it's frustrating with some of the responses we get from governments, whether it's my own government in the Bahamas or whether it's the U.S. government here, but that comes with the territory. You just got to fight through the system and do as much as you can for as long as you can with the hope of being focused on one thing, and that is nation building. You've been in our chat group, and we tried to put people of like mind, and that's why, you know, Sir Frankie Wilson is one of my inspirational, as a young man in Rock Sound, he was the first person of color I ever saw get off a private plane in a white tennis outfit, and I asked my father who that man was, and my father told me that he was the gentleman that just got Cotton Bay. I had a chance to see Mr. Wilson in New York City when I was invited by Starwood to talk to a group of investors. Unknown to me, sitting in the audience, was Sir Frankie Wilson. And any place I go, I make the point because he really set the standard and the footstep that I follow today, along with my grandparents and my parents, and particularly my father. So, you know, I think for those Bahamians that don't think they can, if they look around, there are many Bahamians that just, if they have an opportunity, they will get it done.
Well, we're going to take our final break, but when we come back, I want to ask you to turn your attention to this question. So some Bahamian is sitting there, haven't listened to you and thinking, yeah, I want to be an owner. I want you to tell them where they need to start in that process when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm here with Mr. Andy Ingram. We'll be back after this break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Bahamar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of BK Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance,
I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of
app. You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to these remaining moments of the show where I'm speaking with CEO and founder of NABHUD, Mr. Andy Ingram, a Bahamian son, but, you know, doing from Tabin Bay, but doing some wonderful things in the United States of America and doing some wonderful things for the Bahamas from the United States of America. And I really enjoyed and was impressed with the conference I attended. I have to tell you that Miami is a great spot. Listen, I don't know that I would live in every part of Miami, but, you know, for those of us who remember, now let me take you back, Andy. Those of us who remember the Columbus Hotel, you remember the Columbus Hotel?
I do. Downtown Miami.
The Dolphin Hotel?
The Dolphin Hotel in Nassau?
No, the Dolphin Hotel, there was the Columbus Hotel, there was the Omni Hotel. And there was another hotel. I thought it was the Dolphin Hotel.
No, the McAllister Hotel. The McAllister Hotel.
Okay, close to Columbus Hotel?
Yes.
Back in the day.
And the DuPont.
Macquarie and all them people, your Bahamians used to... But a lot of these younger Bahamians, do not know Miami used to be the Bahamian spot. That's where we went. You didn't go to Fort Lauderdale or West Palm Beach. You went to Miami. And then when Miami became run down and something... People started going up north to Fort Lauderdale and then further up, et cetera. But now the Miami, downtown Miami, my brother is slamming. You talk about urban renewal, that's Miami, downtown. Right? Really? So I'm in the Marriott Hotel, and I tell you every morning and every evening, I was on the ninth floor. I sat out there on whatever that was, the little porch thing, I guess. And it was just a beautiful thing seeing those the sights there in Miami. Beautiful. And on the ground, Miami is really a different place than the one when we stopped going there to go to Fort Lauderdale. At least downtown Miami. And now you are Bamboo Shack.
Oh, Bamboo Shack is in Miami. Absolutely.
Miami Gardens, yes. So somebody's been listening to you. They're interested. Want to get in the hotel business, where do they start?
You know, what I tell people is, first of all, educate yourself. Attend as many workshops today. A lot of these workshops are online. The American Hotel and Lodging Association education component, our workshops, we do a lot of webinars. And then, of course, through these workshops, you begin to meet people and get exposure to partners. Nobody expects you to come up with all the cash, and please don't think that you need to. The ways that you can do this, somebody sent me a text about boutique hotels. The beauty is that when people come together with like mind, with similar visions, there's always a way to capitalize a deal. Sometimes you may have land. It's not the only thing, but you mentioned Chivago, the old Princess property in Freeport. Well, that ship has sailed. Mm. Xanadu and the Lucayan, places that have beautiful beaches, which is why people come to the Caribbean. Obviously, the culture, the heritage, the tourism division, Janet Johnson is working on developing walking tours. But if you want to find ways to meet investors, you've got to go to the place where investors are. I tell people all the time, if you want to meet somebody that's going to invest in, who's looking to invest in hotels, go to some of the New York shows, the ALIS, the American Hotel, CRIS, the Caribbean Hotel Investment Show. You've got to go to some of these hotels, but first of all, read, study, ask questions, make phone calls. People are always looking for great partners. Now, what is a great partner? You must have something that you can bring to the table.
You have to have something. You're saying, right? If I want to be in the hotel business, I have to have something I bring.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind that governments can empower its local people. When the Marriott Marquis was built in Washington, D.C., it was the notion of the commission, the elected officials, the elected body. They wanted to have an African-American presence in that deal. So I think government has an obligation, and you see in a number of jurisdictions, most recently in the Turks and Caicos, where you see folks that are coming in and you said, find somebody local to partner with. I am sure, and I've got a bunch of friends at home, there are people that are quite capable, that have the ability to bring resources to the table. And the beauty is that, you're right, the hotel business is a risky business, but if you get the partner with the right folks, the right brand, it reduced the risk. You know, Bamboo Shack is an established product that Elaine Pinder has pioneered. Again, one of my heroes that I look up to. So when she came to Miami, she brought an established brand. And if you go there on a Saturday night, it's great. You know, my parents used to own a restaurant in Miami where everybody ate boiled fish. And what I tell people, I used to tell my dad this all the time, that when a generation pass on, a new generation may not be looking for boiled fish in the morning. You know, if I tell my young son, let's go have breakfast, he's not looking to go for boiled fish.
He wants some guava waffles, what I call waffles from Nate's Pancake Place.
you're absolutely right. So you've got to also be on the cutting edge of changes. And then you've got to surround yourself with great people. I've had the fortune of surrounding myself not only with the Noam Jenkins, Warren Thompson, who you may have met, and I promised to take you to dinner at Yacht in Fort Lauderdale. Warren Thompson runs the largest minority food service company in the United States. He's the only African-American person of color who owns a restaurant on the waters in South Florida and building two additional restaurants on Las Olas. Warren Fields, who had been looking at the area of Sandy Port to put a hotel. 10 years ago, I couldn't get Warren Fields to talk about doing hotels in the Caribbean. Today, he has a successful hotel in the Cayman Islands. So you've got to surround yourself with people that have the same vision going in the same direction. And I always say to governments, if you look at Overtown, the reason why Red Rooster is in Overtown with local partners is because the CRA, the city officials, insisted that anybody that came in ought to be partnering with local people. Because at the end of the day, I hope the Bahamas doesn't become a country of just people with jobs that they can't pass along, but all the beauty and wealth will be evaporated and go to everybody else except Bahamians.
But now, let me ask you from a different angle now. You got hotel owners in the Bahamas. And unless they're really just flourishing, like what is it that they need to do, especially in this climate, to attract, to get that customer?
Great. Upgrade, find a brand that's dynamic. I mean, obviously in a tough time, you look at occupancy levels at SLS and Rosewood, they're doing well. Yes, they were expensive to build, but people insist that they have or when they spend their money, they want a return on the investment. You know, I like Nettie's old property, and I keep telling Vincent Vanderpool Wallace and anybody that's ever listened to us, that's still a great location on Cable Beach. So I think for us is find the right partnerships, bring in capital to the table. I mean, think of some of the folks that are Bahamian that have worked in the international markets and the local markets. I get asked all the time, why aren't organizations like National Insurance investing in some of the most important industry? Listen, people are going to come to the Bahamas, whether you close the Ministry of Tourism tomorrow. What we need to do is be able to develop and have an impact the average life of a Bahamian. And so if you take these assets and you bring people to the table, we have delegation back in 2019, we had a big delegation that came to the summit from the Eastern Caribbean. These were small hotel owners that the European Union was able to help finance them getting there. And we created workshops that would adhere to some of the needs that they have. So I think exposure is going to be the best issue. But access to capital is a major, major issue worldwide. But there is capital around and looking to invest with a return on the dollar.
Final question for you. How is Airbnb, which a lot of Bahamians seem to and are interested in getting into, different than dealing with the hotel industry?
Airbnb, great concept. I think they continue to do well. Our issue with Airbnb, they don't have the life safety equipment. They don't have the security. You never know what you see when you show up. And yeah, there's some good products there, but if I'm traveling, if my daughter's traveling, if my wife is traveling, I want them to be able to stay at someplace that's safe. Airbnb is going to do well. There's a segment of society that want that sort of differentiation from a hotel. I'm always going to be a hotel person because it allows me the safety. I think for most Bahamians, I don't want to be called at night if the toilet breaks. I want to be able to make enough money where that management company, that brand, that's their responsibility. I want to be responsible reading P&Ls in the morning to make sure my investment is doing okay.
Yeah, and that it is a different experience. Even though I've done Airbnb and enjoyed it, but it is definitely a different experience than being in a hotel. And if you're someone like me who travels a lot, like Airbnb wouldn't be for me. I could do it sometimes, but to be constantly in that mode, it couldn't be. I need to go in a place where everything is like, okay, bro, this room ain't fixed. Get me out of here. Let me go in another room because I need to get set.
Shivago, the good thing though with Airbnb, you can earn money where you can go up in levels. The next level is a small hotel,
right,
larger hotel, a joint venture, a partnership. And I tell people all the time, is just don't be afraid to raise money and invest. And that's what we do with our organization is we bring people together to invest.
But Ingram, we thank you, man. I thank you. I've enjoyed thoroughly all the years we have connected. And every time we've had a discussion, I appreciate you, appreciate what you're doing. And I want to thank you on behalf of many Bahamians for what you're doing.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and good luck. But remember, I want to partner with you and your show and let me know how we can help.
We'll talk. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I've been speaking with the founding CEO of NABHUD, Stanley Ingram. Every time I think Hurricane Dorian now, I think Andy Ingram was right in the center of it.
God
bless you. we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Stay tuned. Nahasha Black is up next. God bless you. Have a great evening.